I want to tell you a frightening story, and it's a true story. It happened to a woman by the name of Nova Sisko. Nova was a violinist with the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. She was also a very committed Christian. One night, after the concert, one of the other players in the orchestra was having a problem in her life, and she wanted to talk to Nova, because Nova was a very good listener. So they stayed and they lingered, and they stayed much later than they thought, much later than normal. In fact, everyone had left the concert hall. Everything was closed down. The only people left there were Nova and this other person and the janitor, and he came by and he said, "I have to lock up." So they ended their conversation, and they said good night. It was a very cold winter night in Memphis. She went to her locker, and she put away her violin, and then she got her winter coat, and she headed for the elevator that took her to the parking garage, and she realized that she was the only person left in the building, and so a bit of anxiety began to creep up, and she also realized she had never done that before, and it wasn't wise. So she took the keys out of her purse to have them ready so that when she got to her car, she would be able to unlock that car and get into it as quickly as possible. She reached the level of the parking garage, and the doors opened, and she walked out, and as she was walking to her car rather quickly, she could hear footsteps behind her. And she hastened her steps, but the footsteps got faster, and sure enough, two men came up behind her, grabbed her, slapped her in the face, and told her, "Give me the car keys." She was terrified, and she gave them the keys, and she said, "Please don't hurt me." They hit her with their fist on her jaw. They dragged her to her car. They opened the trunk of the car, and they pushed her into the trunk of the car, and they slammed the trunk closed, and Nova found herself in total darkness in that trunk. She realized that there was no sense in screaming for help because no one else would hear. So she did the first thing that came to her mind. She started praying, and she said, "Oh God, help me, help me, help me." Almost immediately, a verse of scripture came to her mind that she had memorized. It was Philippians 4, verse 8. Many of you have memorized it. And that verse is, "If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things." So she tried to think about things for which she could give thanks to God. And she said later that a peace came over her that she couldn't really explain. She heard the motor start up to the car, and then the car started to move and move and move and move and stop and go and move and stop and go. In fact, for 40 hours, she had no food. She had no water. She had no restroom. She had no light. And another scripture came to her mind, Psalm 139. Verse 12, "Even the darkness will not be dark to you, Lord. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you." And she said later that she felt a glow come into the trunk of that car, a brightness in her spirit that she could not explain. It wasn't a physical light, but it filled her spirit. She didn't recall seeing a gun or a knife with those men, and she wondered, "What are they going to do with me?" And she began to think, and she thought, "Maybe they're going to take me to a lake and kill me and throw me into a lake and take my car." And that rekindled another thought. Psalm 46, verse 1 came to her mind, which is, "God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble." And that, of course, gave her some courage. And so she started singing hymns as loudly as she could. She just started singing. The men couldn't stand it. So they turned on the radio in the car, and they turned the radio up as loudly as they could get it to drown out her voice. So she stopped singing, and she started listening to the radio, and she discovered that she was no longer in Memphis, Tennessee. She was now in Tulsa, Oklahoma, over 400 miles away from her home. And she also heard the radio announcer say that it is now 24 degrees outside. She thought, well, maybe I'll just freeze to death in this trunk. Her feet were so cold from the pain of that temperature. And then another scripture came to her mind, Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. And she said later, I couldn't explain it, but it was like my feet felt warm. And then the car stopped somewhere. And she heard other voices talking. And she realized these men were trying to sell her car. As soon as she realized what was happening, she started screaming at the top of her lungs. She started kicking as hard as she could. In fact, she said she kicked so hard that she passed out. But it worked. She was rescued. The men were sent to prison. And following that, Novosisco has gone around the country sharing her testimony about this experience. And this is a quote. She said, above all, I discovered anew the life force in God's word. For 40 hours, it had been my light, my heat, my food, along with my thoughts of melodies of God's great hymns. It kept my faith alive, generating peace, courage, and trust that went beyond my own resources. I had truly experienced the words that I speak to you, that they are spirit and they are life. Whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. Even the darkness is not dark to you, God. God is my refuge and my strength. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The messages of Novosisco's testimony are powerful, and they're full of truth. And one of them is that God is actively present in his word. It is not just ink on a page. Another message is that God inhabits our praises. In addition to claiming the scriptures, she sang hymns of praise. Yet another message is this, and this is a testimony. She had spent enough time memorizing the word of God and implanting songs in her heart that she was able to bring them to the surface. And they were a comfort and a strength for her. Those great hymns of her faith and those great words of God both sustained her for 40 hours. So my question to you is this. Do you know and internalize the word of God? I didn't ask you if you knew it. I just know it. Do you internalize the word of God? If darkness were to suddenly overwhelm your life, do you know the word of God in your heart, in your mind, in your memory banks well enough to be able to call upon the word of God to overcome the darkness that Satan could throw upon you? Let me ask this. Do you know and internalize the songs of our faith? Do you know the words of those hymns, those songs that we sing together in worship? If darkness were to suddenly overwhelm your life, would you be able to sing to God those wonderful words of strength to him in spite of the circumstances? Most of us put our money in a savings account just in case we're going to need it someday, future needs. Most of us put extra food in our pantries for the future, for when we have company and when we need it. But how many of us store up the Word of God and the songs of our faith in our minds and in our hearts for our future needs, our present and future needs. Ignorance of the Word of God is darkness. Knowledge of the Word of God is light. Do you own a flashlight? How many have a flashlight? When do you use it? When the sun is shining brightly? No. When it's dark and you can't see and you need to see, that's when you use the flashlight. Or if you're like Elizabeth and me, it's when you drop something on the floor and you can't find it. And you go get a flashlight and you start looking for it on the floor in the shadows. God's Word is a light when you need it. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You've heard these words from Psalm 139 many times, and perhaps you've even sung them. Even darkness will not be dark to you, Lord. Listen to some similar scriptures. Psalm 18:28, my God turns the darkness into light. Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. 1 Peter 2:9, declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. Oh, my hope and my prayer for you is that you are never suddenly thrown into darkness. Oh, I claim that prayer for me too and for us, Elizabeth. I hope and pray none of us are never driven to despair and fear because sudden, a blanket of darkness comes over our lives and we don't know where to turn because we all know that the Prince of Darkness is there roaring like a lion and sneaky like a snail, and he's going to come up and he's going to try to do something to throw darkness into your life. I'm urging you, internalize God's Word. Internalize the songs of the faith. Let them be a lamp unto your feet. When you drive your car at night and you don't know where you are, you need road signs. Thank God in this modern age in which we live, wasn't so when I grew up, they put lights on some of those signs and I can actually see them at night. But they don't put lights on all of them. Some of them have reflective paint on them. So when the headlights of my car hit them, I can see what they say. You are a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the light of the world, and he also said, you are the light of the world. And the only way we can be his light is to reflect his light. So you are a road sign that reflects, and you are a light that brings out the message that people need to hear in their lives. You have the light so you can see the way. You know what? God can see in the dark. I can't. You can't. But he can. Because darkness is not darkness to God. Whatever is happening to you right now in your life, if it seems negative to you, if it seems defeating to you, if it seems awful to you, remember, God can see the whole picture. He can see through the fog and the mist, and he can see through the darkness, and he sees the greater good that he has for you down the path in your life. You have to have faith. That is so easy to say. But you know what? It is easier to have faith when you've got light. When you can't see, it's hard to have faith. But when you've got light, it's a lot easier. Amen? So when you have the light of God's Word hidden in your heart and you just can't see, faith can shine. Now, I've been quoting Psalm 139, verse 12, even the darkness will not be dark to you, but I've been quoting it out of context. I've been sharing only the second half of the verse. This is the entire verse. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. That was David. And he was proclaiming one of the awesome gifts that God gives to us, and that is, he is always there. He is always there. You cannot hide from him. I cannot hide from him. He searches you and he knows you. He is familiar with all of your ways. There is no place that you can go where God cannot find you because he is right there with you all the time. He's right there with you right now. God is always there. There is no darkness in your life that he does not understand. There is no sin in your life that he cannot forgive. There is no broken relationship in your life that he cannot mend. There is no disease in your life that he cannot heal. In the context of all this in the psalm, David was worshiping the Lord because he said this, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. How precious are your thoughts, O God. How precious, O God, are your thoughts. Vast is the sum of them. Worshiping the Lord. Praising God, acknowledging, hallowed be thy name. Even the darkness is not dark to you. So, my charge to you today is internalize God's word in your heart and internalize the songs of our faith and prepare yourself for any darkness that may come to your life. Because when it comes, you're going to need his light. And it's his word, and it will be your light, and it will be your warmth, and it will be your guidance, and hallelujah, it will be your everlasting joy. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is more than ink on a page. Thank you it's more than lyrics of a song or a hymn. Thank you that it is alive, living, correcting, teaching, rebuking, convincing, healing, guiding, teaching. Hey, Lord, may we embrace your word. May we embrace your thoughts, your precious thoughts that you have given to us in your word. And Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, I pray that your Holy Spirit will make it so. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.